So Simcha Torah is, in essence, the rejoicing in Adonai's word. As we mark this day with the rolling back of the Torah, signifying the conclusion of our Parsha readings, we do not move on to something else, but rather commence with reading the Parsha again. Through every turn of the rollers, as we wind our way back to Bereshit 1:1, we are reminded of all Adonai has revealed to us. Further, as a congregation, we are reminded of the connections the word of Adonai has established. Torah reveals to us the character of Adonai, precisely describing who he is. Where Adonai passed before him, meaning Moses, he proclaimed his name and he said, God is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, showing grace to the thousandth generation, forgiving offenses, crimes, and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offenses to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, and even to the third and fourth generation. Keeping in mind here, we're seeing two very distinct aspects. Basically the endless nature of God's grace and forgiveness, yet not exonerating those that are guilty of transgressing his word. For the transgressor bears the consequences, not just them, but their generations. Yet those that embrace God, follow him and his word, are in essence seeing the true graciousness of God that extends thousand generations, generation after generation, generation, and so on and so forth. So he reveals his attributes to us. Throughout Torah, his character has been made known. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. But keeping in mind, it doesn't say, well, in his time, not our time. Well, where are you, God? You promised this, yet God did not give you a time frame as to when this would happen. But everything is in his order of time, not in our expectation of time. During this past year's Torah readings, we did something different. We explored the themes of Torah and discovered the depth by which Adonai has revealed his word to us. What appeared to be random musings of Adonai were proven to be intricately woven themes, providing us, his reader, with a deeper context that enabled us to draw the ultimate conclusion, leading to Yeshua, Messiah, the Anointed One, who would ultimately redeem his people. Whatever we read throughout the prophets and the writings is connected to the foundation, that being Torah. There are no prophets and writings if there is no Torah. Each parsha has something in it about and points to Messiah. Hence, every study combined a section, Messiah in the parsha. When he conveyed these words to his Talmidim after the resurrection, we have truly experienced his words to be true. In Luke 24, Yeshua said to them, this is what I meant when I was still with you and told you that everything written about me in the Torah of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms had to be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Tanakh. Keeping in mind, in your own humanness, you fully can't understand God's word unless he opens your mind, unless the Spirit shows you these things. Whether the Spirit resides in you as a believer in Messiah, or the Spirit amplifies the written word to where we see greater clarity. It is the Spirit of God that truly empowers the word of God. In Bereshit 1:2, we read of the Spirit of Adonai hovering over the face of the deep, whereby the sages equate this very Spirit to be the Spirit of Messiah. We read that there is to be a prophet like Moses who will come and, as Adonai said, will raise he will raise up a prophet like me among yourselves. From your own kinsmen, you are to pay attention to him. Just as when you were assembled at Horeb and requested Adonai your God, don't let me hear the voice of Adonai my God anymore, or let me see this great fire again, or I will die. On that occasion, Adonai said to me, they are right in what they are saying. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I order him. Through these words, the people would be awaiting the prophet. Is this the prophet, they would ask? They would ask, starting with Yochanan the Immerser. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 19, here is Yochanan's testimony. When the Judeans sent Kohanim and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He was very straightforward and stated, I'm not the Messiah. Then they pressed, who are you? Are you Eliyahu? No, I am not, he said. Are you the prophet, the one we're expecting? No, he replied. To say you know Adonai's Torah is to know his plan for our lives, for the world, for his kingdom. And later we would see the same thing posed to Yeshua. Andrew proclaiming to his brother, we've found him. We found Mashiach. What was Andrew's basis? What was he influenced by? It was likely all the prophecies in the Tanakh, including that of the prophet, whereby the Spirit of Adonai revealed to him who Yeshua is. What about the general population in John chapter 6? When the people saw the miracle he, Yeshua, had performed, they said, this has to be the prophet who is supposed to come into the world. Yeshua knew that they were on the point of coming and seizing him in order to make him king. So he went back into the hills. They were coming to get him, to elevate him and anoint him, but that wasn't his purpose at the time. And what about on Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah? The people, upon hearing him, they said, on hearing his word, some people in the crowd said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But others said, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? What words had they just heard? They had heard him proclaiming that he was the light of the world, rivers of living water, all based on this one passage in Torah that everyone knew because this was their curriculum. This was their textbook growing up. Torah was their teacher. There has been a clear line drawn through Torah. How blessed are those who reject the advice of the wicked. Don't stand on the way of sinners or sit where scoffers sit. This is Psalm 1. We sang it earlier today. And here is the line, their delight. For those who don't associate with sinners and scoffers, their delight is in Adonai's Torah. On this they meditate day and night. An entire psalm written about the Word of God, his Torah, Psalm 119. Here are just a few aspects of Torah the psalmist reveals in verse 1. How happy are those whose way of life is blameless, who live by the Torah of Adonai. The very first verse is a testimony to what one can expect should they choose to live by Adonai's word. Verse 18, open my eyes so that I will see wonders from your Torah. Have we not seen wonders this past year connecting things that we didn't even think were connected. We have had a glimpse into the wonders of Torah through our study of it, through the thematics, connecting what seemed to be errant stories together. Each year, bringing greater understanding, thus producing greater intimacy with our Lord and our God. Verse 29, keep deceitful ways far from me and favor me with your Torah. It is a blessing, it is not a curse. How many times when we were doing Deuteronomy did we go through the list of things of what Torah is not? It is not done away with, it's not a curse, it's not a burden, it's not a heavy yoke. Yet once we have tasted the sweetness of Torah, we desire the bitterness of the world's way to be kept far from us. I could go on. There's 176 verses that amplify the magnitude of Adonai's word and makes a strong case for following him. Without Torah, there is nothing, for Torah is the foundation for the world, because it is Adonai's word that established everything. This will be our focus in studying Torah this year, this Parsha cycle. We will look at the authority of God's word and how not only he desires his people to follow it, but he himself follows it. The earth itself follows it. Every aspect of his creation is to follow it. Torah is so foundational for our lives. Not only does he make it possible for us to do, in Deuteronomy it says, for this is the mitzvah which I am giving you today, is not too hard for you. It is not beyond your reach. It isn't in the sky so that you need to ask, who will go up into the sky for us, bring it to us and make us hear it so that we can obey it. Likewise, it isn't beyond the sea so that you need to ask, who will cross the sea for us, bring it to us and make us hear it so that we can obey it. On the contrary, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart, therefore you can do it. Amen. The false premise of, well, we need a Messiah because nobody could keep Torah or the law, is a false premise. We always need a Messiah because there was a fallen world. Yet what does he do? He empowers us. He provides us with the Ruach HaKodesh that empowers the Word of God. Everything I've shared with you has been affirmed through the prophets. Adonai has chosen, including the prophet himself. We're in John chapter 7. So Yeshua said to them, yes, indeed, I tell you that I am the gate for the sheep. All those who have come before me have been thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If someone enters through me, he will be safe and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life in its fullest measure. Through Torah, Adonai reveals his will. He conveys the very dynamic first to the nation he established by his word, where he conveys, and this is based on what Yeshua said as well, I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants. Loving Adonai your God, paying attention to what he says, and clinging to him, for that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you will live in the land Adonai swore he would give to your ancestors. For all this that I have shared with you, I pray that these words ring true. Psalm chapter 40, starting in verse 8. Doing your will, my God, is my joy. Your Torah is in my inmost being. I have proclaimed what is right in the great assembly. I did not restrain my lips, Adonai, as you know. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart, but declared your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your grace and truth from the great assembly. And then conveying these words from 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has God as his Father. And everyone who loves a father loves his offspring too. Here is how we know that we love God's children. When we love God, we also do what he commands. For loving God means obeying his commands. Moreover, his commands are not burdensome. I seem to have heard that somewhere before. Because everything which has God as its Father overcomes the world. And this is what victoriously overcomes the world, our trust. It is our faith in him where we overcome the burdens and the trappings of this world. To where in verse 5 he said, who does overcome the world if not the person who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? You have overcome the world. You have victory through Yeshua. Yet you still have to endure in the world. But the world does not have a hold on you. Yet when you hear the lies of God's word, we don't have to do that anymore. Oh, that's for the Jewish people only. Well, it's a curse. It's a burden. It's like we've been liberated from the law. Listen closely to Yeshua. Listen closely to Shaul. Their words do not speak contrary to anything in the Tanakh, but they affirm everything. But it's our understanding that has twisted things. So on this day, we rejoice, not because we've concluded a Parsha cycle, but we rejoice because we get to do it again. And this will be our 10th year doing it. Each year, we go through the same scripture. We don't always draw the same conclusions. There are other things that we learn, not in contrary to what we've learned previously, but building upon our understanding. In essence, we're building closer to him. What are we doing? But we're bringing heaven down because his word came down, and ultimately it is what connects us and draws heaven closer to earth. It is like the ladder, like Jacob's ladder, where scripture conveys that Yeshua was that ladder. And who is Yeshua but the living word of God? So we rejoice because God has revealed his word to us. He helped us understand it. To where, I pray I say this accurately for everyone here, that we flourish because of it. That we're not held to the standards of man, but to the revelation of God. So if everybody will please rise.